1, 2, 1, 2, I'm back. This is episode 79 of Canada Got Soul's True to Size.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to episode 79 of True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Yes, 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 yes.
And Mr. Alvin Martinez.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2, what is this?
And of course, we're joined by returning guest, friend, very good friend of the show, the raddest sneaker dad out there, Mr. John Radner, a.k.a. Heads Ain't Ready.
What's up? Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. Thank you for coming back. We appreciate you making the drive from Oakville to come out here.
I thought it was Niagara Falls.
Wherever it's from. One of those white places, right? Same place that I'm from. Wherever. We're neighbors.
Young and Shepherd, I don't know. Never been there.
We've got a good show this week with a couple of great discussion topics to mull over with our guest. First, we're going to talk to John about his article he wrote about the sneaker media industry on netmagnetism.com. And after that, he's going to tell us what he did with his grails and why he did what he did. But first, Alvin.
Fire round.
Yes, the fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from me, bitch, because I had a really good question that I wanted to ask.
Oh, I follow that me, bitch guy.
Yeah, you do. That's at me, bitch, on Instagram.
M-E-E-B-I-T-C-H-H-H-H-H.
So yesterday I posted the Burgundy Fives on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I don't remember who it was, but somebody commented and said, ooh, I need these. And I was like, just wait, like, just hang on, because I feel like it's been about that time where it'll get a retro and the old pairs are kind of starting to crumble, fall apart, paint chip, whatever. So my question for you guys is, how long should brands wait in between retroing shoes? I guess more specifically Jordan and Nike, because the Adidas stuff that's coming out now, I don't know if it would retro, like all the Boost and stuff. I feel like other than the original Ultra Boost, nothing else has come back out. So I want to know, how long do you guys think, I guess we'll say specifically Jordan's, in between retros? What do you think?
I think 5 to 10 years.
I need something much more precise than that.
7 years.
7 years is for you? Why do you? Where did you come up with that number?
Just pulled it on my ass. No, because anything before 5, it's just like everything is still good and intact and wearable. Mm-hmm. Whether it's VNDS, NDS, DS, or whatever, 90%, 10%, or whatever the fuck you guys use now. But like once stuff starts to kind of like die down, or there aren't as many DS pairs out there, it's just like you should potentially bring it out. Maybe you'll change something, maybe, mm-hmm. or not. Hopefully mm-hmm. you don't. But it was like how long was it before they retroed the Atmos ones? The elephant print.
Ooh, like more than 10 years, no? What was the first one, 2006?
I was waiting 10 years to purchase.
7?
Yeah.
And then it came out in 2017 or 18? 17? 16?
Like 10 years.
10 years.
10-ish then. Years, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. 10 years. Like I said, 10 years.
What do you think, Joel? How many years? What's a good number for you?
I think with Jordan brand specifically, I think it is like that 5 to 7 year gap. I think that's what it was before, no?
Ish, yeah.
Like the 94s and before that was like...
85 yeah, or whatever, 88 if you're talking
something
about...
Something like that, but yeah. I think, yeah, just to get that, I don't know, I guess that flex wear in your shoe kind mm-hmm. of thing. I don't know, maybe Jordan brand research has this special
algorithm
where, you know, the glue starts to like, you know,
right.
crack and stuff within like 5 to 7 years. I don't know. I'm just pulling it out of my ass too. But I don't know. I think
a lot of ass pulling on this episode so far.
I think it is like in that same gap that retro should drop.
Yeah.
Around that
5 to 7 years
five
for you.
5 to 7.
John, what do you think? You've got a lot of older pairs. I know you like the aged gems. So mm-hmm. how do you feel?
Well, you'd like to think that they're doing it because the shoes are falling apart and they're mm-hmm. looking out for us. But I think there's so much more going on. Mm-hmm. Or maybe so much less thought going into mm-hmm. it. And just, yeah. you know, oh, let's do it. Someone says it. I don't think I can't figure it out. I mean,
there's no, I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to it, to be honest. Yeah. It's kind of just like, yeah, I feel like they have a big hat and they have a bunch of shoes in there, and it's just like, okay, Brad won's today. Like, it's
or like
just,
if a celebrity.
I mean, I like, I personally, I would like them to wait like maybe 10 years. Mm.
Yeah, you're up to
I like that a little idea, bit higher. Yeah. But it's like, I don't want to say it, but I think everyone kind of thinks it sometimes. It's like reward the people.
Oh, 100%.
I guess it would have been lined up or repaid resale. Yeah. Even, you know, you want to, you don't want a shoe to come out when you paid resale for
the next 100%. The next week. Yeah.
Facts.
And, but it's, it seems so random. Like shoes, like, you know, you don't see, not even Jordans, like a mid elite Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Like those never come out.
They
come out, and it's like, why? Because everyone loves them. Like, and then a Jordan One, I'm sure we'll talk about that later when we talk about rumors and stuff. But yeah, I'd like it to be a long time.
Yeah. Huh. I think I'm somewhere in between that. Like you guys said 7 and John said 10. I'm thinking like 8-ish for me. Mm. It honestly has nothing to do with me about it falling apart because it's going to happen. It could happen in 2 years, depending on how much you wear the shoe, realistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, like John said, I think I'm closer to the side of reward people / give someone something to hunt for and wait for. Like if it's every 4, 3, 2, whatever years, and it's like, what the hell? Like, it's literally, I missed it. It's all right. In 2 years, I'll get it. Like, it's just boring at that point. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to hunt for, strive for, be like, oh my God, I've been waiting X amount of years for this.
It's like the Bread One.
That's exactly where I was going to go with it.
13, 16, now.
Even before
19.
That, it was what, 2010 or 09? Yeah, it was like every 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the pack, and then it was 2013, and then it was 2016, and now apparently.
It's okay, because I didn't get the 2016, so I wanted a pair of 2019.
That's one shoe that I'm kind of okay with it because I could wear that shoe every day of my life. Like that and Black Cement 3, it's like every year is fine with me.
Make it a GR. Fuck,
man. The real shit. I would still like crush that shoe. But yeah, like some shoe, like Mocha 3s, I've had a pair for a long time, and they came out in 01, and then they came out again, it was this year, I believe, or late last year, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like such a loop, like elusive shoe for the longest time, and then when it came out, it kind of just like hit me. Mm-hmm. Like John said, it's kind of like...
But the midsole wasn't patina like yours. Like.
Yeah, and I can still wear mine, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe almost 20 years. You think those are coming back? That would be the kind of shoe I would think would come back. No, the... Burgundy 5s.
Oh, Burgundy 5s.
Same with the olives. Like, I don't know. Like,
you don't think so?
Well,
ooh, those olives, though.
Olives are crazy.
No, the quality on Burgundy, they don't do that anymore.
They don't. No, they don't at all. I think they would change it. For a while, like I think it was last year or the year before, they started doing Bordeaux a lot. Mm-hmm. Like I think they brought back out Bordeaux 7s. They did that Bordeaux 12, which was also... Those are actually really nice. The all like Bordeaux upper.
Yeah.
And it was like suede. So I thought for a while we had a chance of seeing it come back. They did the Bordeaux 3s for women.
Oh, yes.
That's right. So I thought like that would have been their chance. So I don't know. Nothing is sacred anymore. Like, really, honestly, nothing is sacred. So
Undefeated is going to drop the 4. The
Can five. You imagine?
The Olive 5?
The Olive 5 but it's going to be Undefeated? That's a hot take there, man. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that coming to fruition.
I never know.
I like that prediction.
That's a good idea.
You guys watch NBA on TNT, right?
Yeah.
You know how, like, I think it was last year at the beginning of the season, they were putting predictions up on the wall on, like, sticky notes? Like, crazy shit that was going to happen. Like, the Lakers are going to miss playoffs, whatever. At the beginning of last year, it was, like, nuts. I feel like that's one of those things we put on a sticky note and put it on the wall.
Undefeated
fives. Like, just a bunch of shit like that.
It's gonna drop.
That we're saying that we're, like, honestly, that's probably going to come through. And then as it starts to come true, we take it off. Maybe a new thing will start eventually. Joel's basement is just going to be full of sticky notes.
Let's do it.
If you would like to submit a question for the fire round, like me, motherfucker, and have us answered on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at CanadaGotSoul@gmail.com. Next up is the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademark phrase.
Cute.
And because I submitted the really good fire round question, I'm going to go first this week. Thank you. I agree. And my pick this week, I wasn't sure about it at first because I thought it was a Stan Smith. But as I kept looking at it, I did start to like it more. And that is the Benji Nike Dunk SB Low collaboration. So if you guys haven't seen the shoe, it is a mostly white, premium white leather upper. White midsole, white laces, white tongue. It's just the only color on it is a green sock liner, which is what makes it look a lot like a Stan Smith. Mm. But the thing that stands out about the shoe, this mostly white shoe, is that there is no swoosh on the side. Instead, the entire upper, all of the panels, have mini embossed swooshes on them. So yeah, it's a pretty cool shoe. It's definitely a little bit more plain than I would typically go for. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of torn between it because I feel like if I got it, I would, I'm not very good at art, but I would possibly paint all those swooshes like green.
Green, yeah.
And that could be really cool.
That would look dope.
But it also could look really bad. Maybe like half of them I would paint green. The
other
half.
Every other one?
Yeah.
Like in the leave panel white. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah.
Or even if they put like, if the outsole was even like
that. Something, like just to give it a little bit of pop.
But I like that patina though.
I do like the, yeah, like the aged, sick. The aged midsole is very cool. So I had no idea what Benji was. Apparently it's a Holland based, sneaker something or other. Oh, I don't know.
Bungee.
Bungee card.
Okay. So, I'm going to rate these a cute for now. They're set to release, this month, actually. Might be this weekend, actually. Yeah. September 28th. So I would assume maybe a Drift, some other skate shops in Canada,
the ones in Montreal,
whatever they're called. Yeah, I don't know.
Can't remember. But yeah, that's dope.
They're cute for me. Next up, let's do Joel.
Okay, so my pick is the Air Force One Gore-Tex, high and low. They got pictures of the highs out right now. You can check like Sneaker News and whatnot. But it's like a predominantly white shoe. Looks like a high cut if you include the boot. It's got a translucent swoosh. It's got Gore-Tex stitched on the outer heel counter. Clear midsole, and it looks like it's got like a rugged sole by the looks of it.
Very ACG-ish.
But yeah, it's a pretty dope looking shoe. I like the olive one, the low. The low for me is bueno for me.
Bueno.
It's like forest green. It's got like, it looks like a ripstop canvas kind of thing on the upper. You know, gum, midsole and sole, Gore-Tex stitched on it as well.
Very fall vibes.
Very fall, very, you know, waterproofy kind of shoe. Get you splashing everywhere in the slush and whatnot. but it's got, I think the 10th is stitched on, I guess the upper.
The what?
The 10th.
It says the 10th?
The 10th, yeah. So I did like some research on
Thank you, because I was confused.
Yeah, so the 10th is like a sub level of Nike, I guess. I don't know. But it's a line which honors Nike co-founder Bill Bowerman. He served in the 10th Mountain Division of the U.S. Army.
Oh, okay.
Which specializes in... Oh, sorry, I swept right. Sorry.
Swept.
It specializes in conquering mountainous and Arctic conditions, which has resulted in the aforementioned, you know, Nike React Sur 2. But yeah, that's pretty much the whole story behind the 10th.
That's interesting.
Stitched onto the side of the upper of the white Gore-Tex Air Force Ones. Expect these to drop sometime in October to December. So they gave like a big gap
there. So they have no idea when it's coming
out. No idea. But yeah, man, these are really cool for me.
Like, have they done Gore-Tex on Nike? I'm sure they have.
I'm pretty sure.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head though. Like,
probably Air Force though.
Yeah, most likely an Air Force. But yeah, these are like for the lows, it's a scoop for me.
Low is scoop.
Lows.
The high is
the highs are super cute.
Super cute.
Yeah.
Our esteemed guest, Alvin, go ahead.
So, my pick is the 50 Shades of Pink Air Max 90.
Is that the actual name?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't see that anywhere.
It's actually, what they call it on Sneaker News is an array of pink shades. But 50 Shades of Pink sounds so much better.
I can agree.
So, these essentially look like the off-white Air Max 90s for the most part. Except with 50 Shades of Pink. so the swoosh on the shoe, on the outer I don't know, the outside of your foot. I was trying to get technical. It's not going to work. It's like a fuchsia pink swoosh.
The lateral side.
Album. Yeah. And on the inside side.
The medial side.
Inside. And then the inside side is like more of an orange. And then you have like a punchy pink midsole.
Punchy pink.
And outsole. Along with the air bubble. And then the insole is pretty dope. Because the where it says Nike is like green. And then the insole is like a pink.
Wow.
It's a very, very cool combination.
It's a very pink shoe.
Of all these pinks. But it's like, it's still kind of neutral in a sense, I think. But yeah, very, very off-white vibes.
Yeah.
Kind of shoe.
Definitely.
These are definitely a scoop for me if I can find them. Or if they even come in men's.
Is it a women's shoe?
It doesn't mention. Yeah. All it says is that, you know, with the success of the CDG, like 180s. Nike's going to pump out some more pink, which is dope because pink's always been dope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So hopefully the 50 Shades of Pink come out and I can purchase them because no one else likes to wear pink. But these are definitely a scoopty whoop if I can get my hands on them, but they're dope.
Yeah, man.
Super cool.
I like those.
Yeah.
That's a good pick by
super
you.
Super clean.
The CGS Pinks. Finally, John, Mr. Heads Ain't Ready. You have a pick for us. This is correct?
Yes. Ronnie Feig dropped a pick on his IG of the upcoming Super Blue Gel Light 3.1s. It actually says Gel Feig on it.
Ooh. Which is
kind
of, I didn't notice that the first time.
That's a cool detail.
That's fancy, bro.
Yeah. I do like that.
And I guess the Super Green Pack came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And so this is a follow-up. But I think I heard a couple people when they saw this were mentioning how Ronnie may have said that there's going to be no more 3.1s when they originally dropped. I can't verify that, but it's interesting that they gave it back, and maybe that's because they put his name on it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say no when they start putting Gel Feig or Feig. I already forgot how to say it, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
The furry suede, super furry.
Super
kind of
cool.
Like that Formosa that came out, never really came out here, but really hard to find, like super furry. Looks cool, but it's just cute for me. That Nimbus sole, I don't know, not really my style. I don't think I get my hands on this unless I got really lucky anyway. And
a little bit too techy for me, that Nimbus sole. Nimbus. Yeah.
Too comfy.
I like my shoes much less comfortable than that.
I'm sure they'll resell for a lot, but
I
don't try and cough
too
for
techy
that
for sure.
Days, so.
We don't care about resale. Next up, forget resale. This Weekend Kicks. So just a couple of things to cover this week. One thing that we're probably going to talk about maybe for the last time. I don't know if we ever actually talked about this at all. But Antonio Brown, still in the news. Feels like he's been in the news for several months now. But finally, there's some sneaker-related stuff going on. So Nike actually dropped Antonio Brown.
Wow.
So they were a longtime endorser of Antonio Brown. And he was dropped. So he had some sexual assault allegations against him come up. I want to say just before week two of the NFL season. So I guess that would be like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Patriots still chose to play him and not like do anything about it. And then as pretty much the day, I think it was a day or two after game two, his first game with the Patriots, they revealed that the Patriots dropped him. And then I think it was either the same day or the day after it was revealed that Nike also dropped him.
Wow.
And I think there was a second allegation too.
Yeah, it was like, he's
I don't know,
not,
man, this guy.
Yeah. Not good right now. So yeah, it's not really surprising when you take into account all the stuff that Nike's done and the whole equality and all this other stuff. They take a pretty strong stance against this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise that they dropped him. So he had a pair of tech trainers on Nike.com. Those have now been removed. There are also no Antonio Brown related items at all. So no jerseys, nothing on Nike websites. So yeah, we're probably not going to talk about this guy anymore unless some something else pops up, because sounds like he's a pretty big shithead. Mm-hmm. Next up, New Balance is doing a 3D printed sneaker. Pretty interesting. It's kind of cool that they're jumping on this whole wave, because it is a pretty cool wave. So the shoe's name is the Fuel Cell Echo or Eco, probably Echo, Triple. It's releasing exclusively on sportcheck.ca. That's kind of interesting. I hope
just on sportcheck.ca?
Only sportcheck.ca.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
In Canada.
Canada.
The retail is a little bit high, but it kind of makes sense, $229. Mm. But when you take into account New Balance's made in USA and other prices, it's kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And these are assembled in the USA as well. So the technology in question, the 3D printed section of a shoe, is on the midsole, on the heel portion. It goes like heel to forefoot. Mm-hmm. And it's called Rebound Resin. Pretty cool name, RR. And it's, which itself creates springy, resilient lattice structures with durability, reliability, and longevity. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I do like the whole 3D printed sneaker thing. Like, I think Adidas was the first one that I can remember 4D. That started it with the 4D. Yeah. And now New Balance is jumping on board with it. It's pretty cool. I like it in performance shoes. I wonder how it feels, because I've never tried on a 4D. I don't know if any of you guys have.
No?
I wonder what how it would stand up against like a Boost or something. But yeah, a lot of people swear by the 4D technology, so might be worth a shot. If you're interested, give it a shot. Releasing exclusively on sportcheck.ca. That's it. There's not a lot of news this week, unfortunately, for nobody. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. I bought no shoes. Joel, shoes?
No.
Alvin, shoes?
Just donors.
Yeah.
For the safaris.
Yeah.
Shout out to Konotsky, who's going to fix those up for me.
Where'd you get the donors?
So, no, man. I got a pair of wheat, like the most recent wheat Air Max ones.
Oh, okay.
So I got the gum bottom, and then the midsole is like already off-white. Oh, so it's the same, it's kind of same patina. Off-white that the midsole already has on the safari. And then like, the air bubble, I don't really care about because I'm going to wear them to shit anyway.
Yeah.
And so they were on sale for $124.99.
Mm-hmm.
I Googled Foot Locker Canada codes. There was a code for if you spent over $120, you get $20 off.
There you go.
So I was like, hey, and free shipping.
And free shipping.
I got it for like $105.
Nice.
So I'm stupid. So it was pretty good.
That's not bad.
And on top of that, the dope price that MD Kovacs gave me for the...
You're still winning.
I'm always
winning.
You're still in the green right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still in the green.
That's a good hack, the Google code.
There you go. Sometimes I do that for everything.
Pan out, but
you never know, man. Like, sometimes the codes don't work. 100%, 99.9% of the time, the code doesn't work. But, you know, this was the time it worked.
There you go.
You never know.
That's a good tip, because I always do the same thing. Anytime I buy anything online, first thing, I'll either sign up for the newsletter, because that always gets you a discount.
Yeah.
Or you'd Google
Because, like, Groupon will have some shit, or... There's a ton of sites that just
nice look man. For I hope stuff. Hope you told Konotsky before this podcast that he was doing the swap for you, because he listens and he would be probably slightly surprised.
No. This is where I hit him up like right when I got the shoe. Like when I had got the shoe in my possession, I was like, bro, I have a project.
Yeah.
I was like, when you have like the capacity or when you have the time, like let me know. I'll drop them off like whenever you're ready.
Nice.
So tomorrow.
No, whenever he's ready, man. There's no rush. I'm just amped that all the parts are there.
Yeah, you have it ready now.
It's all set.
So, all the pieces are in place.
The donor was my main concern.
Yeah. You've been looking for a couple weeks now, so I'm glad you find it.
Found it.
Yeah.
So,
John, did you buy any shoes last week?
Not in the last week.
But
did you receive any shoes in the mail?
No, nothing. Nothing. Oh, I bought the it wasn't last week, but I told you I returned the they were really nice, but they didn't fit me. The sport, the gray day sport.
The New Balance 997.
I grabbed those, and then
those are cool.
I don't know, 11 didn't fit me, so. But
no, because you're usually 11.5, but you half size.
No,
down.
No, New Balance. I'm always 11.
Yeah, like, New Balance. I always go the half size down.
I can go bigger if I have to, but I prefer 11. And I don't know, maybe it was the sport.
I was gonna say it's probably the sport.
Yeah.
But you did. However, go to SneakerCon. This is correct.
Mm-hmm.
How was your experience at SneakerCon Toronto over the weekend?
It was good. Saw some familiar faces. No pickups except for some small gadgets and socks and t-shirts and stuff. But it was good. It was very busy. I showed up at like 5 on Sunday. I expected it to be too late, almost like people packing up. But it was pretty live. It was rolling.
Nice. Interesting.
The trading pit was pretty packed, so I think it was a successful event for sure.
Yeah,
and a lot of the newer stuff was definitely on display. Lots of ones, lots of Yeezys.
Yeah,
so I was kind of looking for looking for older stuff here and there, but I didn't really see too much.
Yeah.
It was there, but I didn't really, you know, I showed up at 5. I wasn't really there for that.
I find at all these expos and stuff, if there is older stuff, it's all on one table, and that table just gets ransacked. Mm-hmm. Like, every single table has new shit, and there's that one guy who's just, like, selling his personal stuff and trying to get rid of stuff, and that table is the one that gets, like, murked.
Might be me.
More than ever, though, I know what I noticed was young, and I know this is a trend that we've all talked about and everyone's talked about, but just young guys with their parents or not, just out there grinding, just trying to resell it from like one or two pairs to a whole table. Huh. People I didn't even recognize, you know, even had their own banner.
Wow.
Like, I guess they're IGs, they have IG business, and you know, it's big enough to go to SneakerCon.
So definitely a young crowd.
Yeah.
And typical selection. It was smaller this year, it looked like. Last year they had, I think, the whole building, or at least a large chunk of it. Yeah, there was the basketball court and stuff. It was smaller. I don't know if you went last year or not.
I think I must have gone 2 years.
But it looked much smaller. Not much smaller, but significantly smaller.
It was smaller because the other half of it was a tattoo convention.
That's correct, yes. I mean, smaller space doesn't necessarily mean less selection. It just means more people in a smaller space, usually.
It looks busier.
It looks busier, exactly. It's like last year when I rolled through, I think it was the second day, it was very sparse because it was such a big space.
Yeah.
There was so much room to move, which wasn't a bad thing, but I guess for photos, it looks horrible because it looks like it's empty in there, even if there's 3,000 people attending. But this year, like John said, it looked very dense in there, crowded, like the trading pit looked like crazy. People bring like lawn chairs and they just like post up in the trading pit with all their stuff. Like,
crazy.
I'd be kind of pissed if I was a vendor and paid for a table and then this guy brought 12 pairs of shoes and a folding chair and just started selling shit in the trading pit. Like, I'd be kind of annoyed. Yeah. Like, I know that Soul Exchange has a limit. Usually if you don't buy a table, it's like 3 pairs you can only bring, which I think would make a vendor feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. They clearly have no limit. I don't think.
Yeah, it's like crazy. People roll up with like suitcases and stuff and just like post up. Like, what's the point in getting a table? You might as well just make the whole thing a trading pit. What the hell?
Yeah.
But yeah, I digress. So you had a good time overall? Not bad?
Yeah, a few people. I was really there just to check it out and saw some people. So chopped it up. It was nice.
Cool. Maybe we'll make it out. It seems like it's been 3 years in a row now, right? So
yeah,
I guess we're on their schedule now.
Yeah. Well, they've had one in Montreal too, and I think BC.
Oh, they did BC as well.
And they had a BC one too. Nice.
I like that. That's good. I like that we're on their.
So they're getting it. I think the major cities probably.
I can't imagine somewhere else getting it. No offense to anybody else in Canada, but no, I can't imagine anywhere else like, big enough.
Nowhere in the East Coast.
Nowhere in Central Canada.
There's not enough of like a sneaker scene there. I don't think.
No, I think Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto is likely all they'll hit. Maybe for the foreseeable
Calgary one day.
Yeah, one day is no offense to Calgary, but it's a stretch just because there's not a whole lot going on out there. They have like two boutiques. Well, I know there's a lot of
like Calgary and Edmonton put together kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Even still, that's like putting Burlington and Hamilton together and saying, let's give a sneaker con. Like, it's not a huge population. not Toronto, though. No. Like,
but Calgary had a Soul Exchange, right?
Yeah, I think they had a Soul Exchange. Yeah, it looked like it was a success. I can't even say that word.
Successful.
Super successful.
For me, it's all about the events, right? As long whatever it is, if I can make it out, you know,
100%.
There's always some people there.
Speaking of events, no, we'll talk about it later. Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch a slip and hit us in the DM, and we will let the world know that we goofed. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of messages this week. I actually had to filter some out and not include them because we would have been here for an hour, which some people would probably love because we get told all the time they want longer podcasts.
Yeah, and we also get told all the time that we're stupid. So
yeah, that's why EEE is very full this week. So first up, KJ to the B.
Yo,
okay. From Toronto, I believe. That's correct.
Yeah. Toronto Saga.
Toronto Saga. It's all the same thing. GTA. He says, hey, CGS famo, just listening to SOD 77. I still like that he calls it the SODs. And one thing I'd add when it comes to Kijiji transactions is I always ask for the seller or buyer's phone number.
That's right.
True. We didn't mention that. He says, for one, it confirms their seriousness level.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving out your phone number randomly to somebody who's not interested. Mm-hmm. And two, I look at it as a fail safe just in case something glitched with the app when it comes to messaging them. At least you'll be able to contact them directly. Mm-hmm. This is true. This is facts. If you ever buy anything from Facebook Marketplace or Kijiji or wherever, let go, whatever it is, get their phone number. I agree. Mm-hmm. Because something always seems to go wrong as soon as you're about to meet them. Kijiji crashes or Facebook Messenger is not working. Yeah, that's correct. Next, Falsey 30.
Hey.
Good friend of the show from Alberta. He says, Red Deer. When's Red Deer Sneaker Con? They don't talk like that out there. I don't know where
that came from. Falsey talks like a regular guy.
Yeah, he literally sounds like he's from Toronto. He says, so much love for Blink-182. They just dropped a new album. Definitely worth a listen.
Did they?
Even if it's solo in the car.
Let's go, Joel.
Let's go.
Fun fact, actually, I was watching Monday Night Football yesterday. And they were the halftime show, Blink-182. Yeah, what? Look at that. Oh, full circle.
Love that song.
Small thing.
We're not going to go around the table. Not again. Thank you, Falsey30. We will definitely listen to that as a group later during CGS After Dark. Next up from Manny Amango. He's from the Bay Area. Yay area listener. Manny Amango.
Hola, Manny.
Correct.
Or could be like a Filipino Manny too. Who knows?
We should ask him. Manny, what are you?
Tito Manuel.
He says, sup guys, just finished listening to the new episode and I have an EEE. I actually do drive with my left foot because my car is a manual 6-speed and my left foot presses the clutch. Okay, Manny.
Listen,
smart guy.
We're not all skilled.
He says, because of that, my left shoe is equally as creased. Awesome show always.
I'm getting a manual car now.
Standard.
A manual car.
It's with manual cars. That's
people still do that? Yeah. Like, what year is that car? 1952? No offense, Manny. I'm sure you have a great car. And finally, from HQ Inc. Repeat contributor.
Harrison.
Correct. Good friend of the show from Toronto as well. He wants to know our thoughts on the recently revealed yellow undefeated Air Max 90, because I believe your pick a couple weeks ago was the Air Max 90 undefeated pack. They just revealed a yellow version.
Is it the same thing?
And the detailing, like the lining and the strips and everything, is yellow.
Black and yellow.
Yellow, like your mic cover. How do you feel about that? Okay. Joel. What? John.
I can't stop thinking about those denim ID.
Oh, my God.
Not even the question.
That's only 90 I care about.
Did you see the...
I've been trying.
Did you see the one that Troy Alexander made?
Yeah.
That looked like the... like the Pata. Yeah, the Pata. Oh, my God.
Something. Crazy.
But yeah, no. For the undefeateds.
Well, Harrison, I like them, so I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry these guys don't even...
the back, right? Like, that's
for these guys don't even care to talk about the shoe you asked about. Nope. John's like, anyways.
I mean, if you cut off the logo on the back and put it on like
a necklace,
an infrared.
Denim.
Yeah, I put on a denim. Oh my God.
Fire, bro.
I like the yellow hair. I think the yellow is the best one. Because the other two just don't make any sense to me. Next up, thumbs up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. I didn't have a subject for this until we started the show. Thank God we talked about something before we started recording, and that is storage lockers for your sneakers. John, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Ooh.
No.
Alvin, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Joel.
Thumbs down.
I'm thumbs down as well. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot, so in this weekly segment, we're going to take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers. And I brought the food this week. It was delicious.
It was great.
And that means I bring the NSR question. And my NSR question for you guys is, we had a similar question to this that Alvin asked us, but this is a little bit more specific. If you had to leave Ontario, which province would you move to? For me, it's whittled down to either Quebec/Montreal or Vancouver/BC. I think I would do Vancouver. What about you guys?
Definitely for me.
Yeah, you're Vancouver?
I have friends out there. I see how the lifestyle.
It's like the LA of pretty Canada. Joel.
It's warm.
I've never been to Vancouver. but it looks really nice.
So that would be bold if you moved there.
Yeah. Like, I've been to Montreal, and Montreal's, it's all right.
Ooh.
Like, it's nice.
Shade.
It's good. Shade. No shade. No shade.
It's all right.
But I've never been to like, on that side of the world.
Because Canada equals Canada equals the world.
It looks like, it looks really beautiful down there, so mm-hmm. I'd probably go down there.
You do Vancouver?
Yeah.
Alvin?
Well, I mean, Montreal's cool. Shout out to Sneaker Podcast fam and all the fam in the Montreal.
Bro, bro.
Vancouver's cool too, but
ooh.
Alberta has Calby, so
ooh.
I'm going to Calgary.
Time is up. Next up is the promos for the week. So a couple things. First up, Sneakerhead TO, the brand new sneaker convention coming to Toronto, is happening on Saturday, October 5th from 12 to 7
That's
p.m.
That's next week.
Shit.
Is it?
That's next, not this week,
next
but the week
next,
after.
A week from the day this airs.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this,
damn,
next Saturday.
You better have tickets by now because it's,
we'll see you,
it's
over
coming
there.
Down to the wire.
Yeah.
So it's going down at the Metro Toronto Convention Center from 12 to 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 5th. As I said, if you're interested in buying tickets, you can go to sneakerhead.market or check out their Instagram at sneakerhead_TO. And they've actually expanded it. So it was supposed to be just a sneaker expo.
Now it's a festivus.
But they've changed it into a whole festivus for the rest of us.
Yeah.
It is going to be crazy. They're going to have a breakdancing competition. And they're going to have music performance acts. And they're going to have a skateboarding competition. It's going to be cool.
That's all like that's anything that you can think of that would go into a sneaker community.
It's a culture convention at this point, which is very cool.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, if you haven't got your tickets yet, you're slacking and you need to get on that, at sneakerhead_TO once again. And something we decided either last week or the week before that we're going to do, Just Kicking It. I don't remember the date, so I probably shouldn't have put this
November
under promos.
17th,
something
I'm
like
mistaken.
That. Alvin's going to check, but yeah, so they're, our friend just Flippin' Laces is throwing another just Flippin' Laces is throwing another event, a follow up to Just Kicking It from last year.
Yeah, yeah.
That took place in August, which was a free expo last year that took place outside, which was the first
that was
for
fun.
Anything I can remember. So super he's
fun.
Running it back again this time, November 16th,
Saturday.
In Toronto, correct? Yeah. In Toronto. If you're interested, you can check out his Instagram at Flippin' Laces or at
just kicking it_TO
or something. Yeah. He has an Instagram for that. And we're going to be there. Apparently there's a contest that the, I don't know why they're calling it a contest because we already won. but
that was only Lawrence
for collections.
It looks like you guys just confirmed that you're, Lawrence, you just confirmed that you guys were having an entry the way you looked at everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're entering, and also the trophy has our name on it already.
And the $1,000.
So, yeah, and we're they can keep the $1,000. That's fine. I just want that trophy. Just kidding. We'll take $1,000, too. they already are engraving the trophy with our name. So if you're listening to this, don't even bother. You're wasting your time. Just don't show up. But show up, but don't think about winning, because we already did that.
I told them I was doing it, too.
Yikes.
Oh. Oh, you're trying to psych me out. That's what you're trash.
That's what he's doing.
But that's what it's going to be. Like, well, it's not going to be as vicious as Lawrence, but I think that's what he's trying to bring out.
He
right?
wants, yeah, the some competitive. Yeah, he wants people to show up and show out, man. It's going to be a good time. It's been a while since they've had an expo where you're, you know, there's an actual competition going down. So should be a good time.
No, it's
going
to be fun, man.
I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, we hope to see all you guys there, because that's going to be a really, really, really
good. You guys better show out.
And show up.
Because I know you guys have the stuff in your closet or your storage locker that John said yes to.
Yeah, John. You better show up.
I don't have
up.
One, but
you better show
I
out.
Hope people go into them. Yeah.
I hope they dig deep and just bring out some crazy stuff.
You better
bring like a stuff. Whole storage locker. See, that's
I hope
kind
so.
Of, that's concept.
You better rent a U-Haul and then be sad when you have to load it up with no trophy in it. Because we're taking that.
That turned into a street ball tournament. And one mixtape kick, one just mixtape. Kicking it.
At that point, we're going to lose, so I hope it doesn't. So next up is our main discussion this week. So we do have John back for the second time in the history of True to Size. And in between the time he was here last time and this date right now today, September 24th, he wrote a couple of articles on Net Magnetism. Good friend of the show. And they were really intriguing, and there are a lot of things that I've thought about in the past, and I'm glad that somebody put them into words for the world to see. So just first off, you have a background in this sort of thing, correct? In writing and
Mostly financial writing, journalism. Worked at a newspaper for a while.
So it's kind of in your wheelhouse to just sit down and write.
Yeah, and I told you guys last time I wanted to do some sneaker writing, so he provided me an opportunity, so I jumped on it.
Yeah, and it was really good. So the first one, I think this was actually the more recent article, was about accountability in the sneaker media. Is that correct? The other one was before that, right?
That's right.
So you wrote a blog post. Do you want to just give a little synopsis of your post?
Well, we titled it Don't Believe Everything You Read in Sneaker Media, and that's essentially what it was about. I riffed off the rumored Bred 1 release that was supposed to be, at least was initially supposed to be, a 85 OG height, OG materials. People were spreading that
the
rumor.
The way they were talking about it at one point was they were going to go time travel and bring back the exact pair from 1985.
And that's exactly what got to me. Not the rumor mill, not the way it works, not the leaks. It was how quickly people spread rumors as fact, and how the standards for, you know, a lot of people criticize traditional media now, fake news, whatever you want to call it. I think, you know, you can still trust mainstream media most of the time, but there's a lot of political leanings and stuff. But in sneaker media, I had to sort of go. I went on YouTube on a podcast, and I had to sort of defend myself because people were essentially saying, "Well, this is sneaker media. You don't have to. There's not the same standards." And I said, "Well,
why?
There should be. If you're just reporting something that you don't know is a fact, and you're saying it's a fact, then say it's a rumor."
Yeah.
And they don't, and people forget, and you know, it's like where are the breads? And it's like, they were supposed to have come out, and people forget. And that's just the short-term mentality in the world. I realize that. I do it too. But in sneaker media, it seems like people even have shorter attention spans.
Oh, for sure.
And it goes away. So I was just trying to draw some attention to that. And it was good. I think it achieved what I tried to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're having to go on podcasts and defend yourself, I think that means it ruffled enough feathers. So I think you did your job. That's a good thing.
It was fun.
It means people were paying attention. Someone was finally paying attention to something. So, so like you said, I think we've actually spoken about it on this podcast in the past, where sneaker media, a lot of sites are quite reputable and a lot of places are the complete opposite, where they'll post things as fact, rumors are delivered as fact, like you said. And, like, they don't realize the effect they're having, the ripple effect that they can have on literally on people's lives at some point. And the people that take their stuff as fact are usually people who will take it very seriously as fact. So even if you were to look at something like, imagine you're a kid who wants to buy a pair of Bred 1s, and you're about to buy a pair on StockX, and they're at a good price because they just announced they're coming back, and you're like, I'm going to sit on it, I'm going to wait. They don't drop, you didn't buy them, and now they're back up $300, and you just fucked over somebody because you didn't take accountability and you didn't check sources. You literally just saw something posted or something or whatever. I think you gave the example of people looking into like old factory like receipts or whatever and just saying, oh, black and red Jordan 1, that must be a Bred, that must be original leather, that must be original height, that must be this, that must be that. And then look where we are, and now it's, oh yeah, that was a rumor once a while ago. Like,
yeah.
People said it's just sneakers, it's not serious, but we all know there's a lot of money going on.
Of course.
And that's why these things are dropping, and that's why the leaks are coming out. It's all the hype machine. So you just realize what's happening, right?
But it's not just sneakers when you're thinking about, because even just an example, I don't know if Soul Collector did it or not, but we'll use Soul Collector as an example. Soul Collector's job, that's literally their industry. They make money off of news, they make money off of release date, calendars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If someone like that releases that kind of news, they make money off of posting an article, like the clicks they're going to get onto their website, off the ads they're going to get clicks off, or money off their like, off their views on YouTube, whatever. So people are making money off of bullshit, essentially, and it's just stupid. Like, they're ruining other people's experience, and they're making money while they do it. Like, it's just horrible. So I think this can kind of extend a little bit into other things. Like, we've talked about experts, quote unquote. Like, we can get into the whole StockX things in a minute. But just like my whole experience, I think I told it on the pod, but I'm not sure if I did or not, so I'll tell it again. I had some Supreme, and I was trying to sell some Supreme. They were box logo t-shirts. They were older. They were vintage. They were high price items that I was trying to get rid of to fund sneakers because that's the kind of person that I am. And I posted them on a couple of like Facebook groups trying to sell them for decent prices. And I was getting offers, people were interested. And then all of a sudden it takes one quote unquote expert to say, hey, that's fake. And then all of a sudden, all the offers are gone. Everyone's calling you out, all this, that, whatever. And it goes from you're about to make money to this one kid who's sitting in his basement who is a quote-unquote expert on something to completely ruin it. And then if as soon as one person calls it fake, it just becomes a ripple effect and you can't sell it. Once one person does it, it's over for you. You can't sell it anymore, especially if this person is a quote-unquote expert in whatever they're talking about. So it definitely extends to what you were talking about in the sense that these blogs are experts and they're stating these things as fact and then they're not. So in your line of work, John, if something is published that is not fact or something that they get it wrong, what happens? What kind of accountability is there?
Well, these days, I think I have to admit, I think it's a little bit different. It used to be if it was printed on paper, you'd need a correction in the newspaper. You'd find it on the second page and it would be there and it would be there just as much as the initial article. Now you can change an article on a website, as you guys know. There may be a record of it somewhere. I don't know. The Wayback Machine still exists or whatnot, but maybe there's a cache or archive of it somewhere. But for the most part, for what people see, they won't see anything. You can say at the bottom, this article was edited. You know, various places on social media, you can see things are edited.
Yep.
If someone says something on Facebook, but in media and written print journalism, you can change what you want online. You're not supposed to. I think if you guys remember back in the day, regular blog sites that had like the strike through. Now it's used, I think, as kind of like a tongue in cheek, like a joke.
Yeah.
But so as far as the sneaker sites, what I saw was, you know, I never got a chance. I didn't save it because maybe I was still naive then, but you know, I wouldn't have written the article if I didn't see people doing this. I'm not in the interest in the business of making up stuff, but and on the live podcast, the person, it was another website, but you know, denied that they did it, but you can see it any time you want.
Yeah.
You can go on. They're not being extra careful because I wrote a blog post. They're still doing it. It'll be, this is released and you could see it and the date will change or the color will change or it just will never come out.
Yeah.
So it's not like the practice is stopping anytime soon. So it's not hard to find. And, if something changes, they'll change it or they'll do a whole, You know the bread one. It was. They had that the history of the bread one. You could look it up if you Google it. And essentially, what some sites do is they update the news at the top of that because that's a great. You talked about links, and that's like probably one of the biggest hitters for the bread one. That history of bread one link.
Yeah.
I think it might be a different site, but not Soul Collector. But and they use that anyway. I think everyone who runs those sites admits that they do it for traffic.
Oh, so, for sure. Yeah.
As long as you realize that when you're consuming the news, I don't think a lot of people are. I don't think a kid selling his bread ones because they're coming out again that he dropped $500 on resale. I don't know if he knows that.
That's the problem. Yeah. So the people who are consuming this are like, imagine that's your introduction to the game. You just started and all of a sudden you read on all the blog sites, my new grail is coming out. You're so excited. And then all of a sudden it just disappears and you're expected to forget about it.
Like, but I'd post it, right? I would see something. And if I believed it, I would say, check it out. They're coming out again.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. That's how it perpetuates. Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm hyped. So I'm not paying attention to it. I'm just excited. I want to share or I want to get some exposure for me to be the next person releasing the news. Right.
So as somebody who works in a similar line of work, what would you say these sites need to do to fix this? And make it better because it is, I agree with you. It is a really big problem. It is a lot of people stating rumors as facts. Like, what do you think these sites need to do to fix this issue?
Well, you know, I don't think you have to dig a little deeper to find out exactly how the industry works. And I think, you know, if you guys have been around long enough, you know, the concept of a leak or a company wanting something to get out or versus a factory leaking a photo that they don't want to get out. I mean, we don't always know. We don't know who's behind it. I don't think we ever know. But the idea that something is feeding this and maybe it's a fake that someone just decided to say, hey, this is coming out because I want some web traffic, or someone sent a photo of someone you've never met across the world. But I think they just need to say it like it is.
Yeah.
And that's the principles of reporting that I think anyone expects, whether you're reading entertainment news. I mean, you don't want to read fake entertainment news if you're really reading
imagine,
it.
Imagine, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you do, but I mean, that's not what you're there for unless, I mean, maybe it's the National Enquirer. You want the fantasy of it, but that's not what you're going to sneaker sites for.
Yeah, no, not at all. You want literal news and information. So you just think they need to be a little bit more explicit with their wording and Absolutely. Let people know it's not a fact. And honestly, even for me up until this day, until a brand says it's coming out, I still have a really hard time believing anything. Like until it's officially announced or there's some sort of inclination from a brand that it's coming out. Because this stuff starts to happen. We've talked about it a lot on the podcast earlier and earlier. Like I think it was 4 days after Concords came out last year, all of a sudden they were talking about Breads are coming out next December.
Yeah.
And I still don't think Jumpman has even officially announced it. Like there may be official images somewhere, but how do you know for sure that that's happening? And how do you rely that to be fact when it's happening a year in advance? When these people are saying it is coming out, this is the fact, here's the style number. Like you could have literally pulled that style number out of your ass. Like they think that because you put it, this is the color code, okay, obvious, this is the date it's coming out and this is the style number, I know it for a fact that it's coming out. Like no one's going to go back and compare the style number that is on the shoe to the one that's on your website a year later. So you can literally do whatever the hell you want.
So Brad 1 is a great example. Though.
Absolutely.
I'm glad I wrote about it because, you know, it's Black Friday. I think that's November in the States.
Yep.
And unless they surprise us, they know it's not coming out. So maybe people will remember. Not what I wrote, but that it was promised.
No, for sure. Absolutely. Leaked.
But that could just be one guy who apparently knows someone. I said on the YouTube podcast, could just be someone who works at the Jordan store here in Toronto
and
who works for the brand, like the way they word it. I know someone who works for the brand. That's not the person who's writing it. That's the person they got the info from.
Yeah.
It's like one of the homies just told me
some random guy like, yo, I heard Breads are coming out.
While you're standing in front, and the guy doesn't even work there.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't even check.
You just literally a Jordan shirt. Heard somebody in the Jordan store say it. And you're like, well, this is happening for sure. Because it could literally be we could start something ourselves. No one ever remembers where this stuff starts really. They just see it somewhere on the internet, it gets reposted on a story 100 times and then all of a sudden you see it on Soul Collector that it's coming out now.
And I did go back and I looked at who where it came from.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
Is who it still the actual on sources this individual's are. Page that they're coming out?
Yeah. And on Twitter, you know, all the guy who originally leaked it said after was, I don't do this as a job. This is my hobby. Take it for what it's worth. So he's actually being straightforward about
it.
But when he drops the initial tweet, he says, Brad Ones, the date, OG High. He gives details.
Yeah.
And people trust him.
And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, he's like, oh, guys, it might not be. I'm just some guy. Like,
say OG materials. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was this is...
Wow. Yeah, people started to go off with it. Like there was pictures and crazy.
Yeah, they were just showing 85.
Yeah, like they're nice like, this is what's coming out.
I mean, I would love for Jordan Brand to do it. And I don't doubt that something could be coming next year. It's not about whether it's not happening or not. It's just how it gets out.
So now we'll see if those Chicago's actually come out next All-Star weekend.
I heard the Cool Grey 11s are dropping next December.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I heard.
Next December.
From a source.
From an unnamed source?
That works at a brand.
See, I heard it's going to be Chicago.
He works at Orange Julius. He works for a brand.
Yeah. No, actually, he works at a Real Fruit. He gave me my Mango Diamond Slush. And he was like, Diamond Slush. The Cool Grey 11s are dropping next December.
And then you posted a whole article about it.
Not yet. You heard it here first.
We're going to put a sticky note on the wall.
The Saturday before
Sneakerhead
Teal.
All right. Well, yeah. So just really quickly then, last thing. So that's what these sites need to do. What do you think as a consumer people need to pay attention for? What do you think they need to do to protect themselves and just to be a more aware individual when they're consuming this kind of media?
Well, I wouldn't base any, you know, you could be a reseller sitting on a bunch of pairs of ones waiting for something. I think if you're paying close attention, you shouldn't. That's probably not the way to time the market anyway with what the blog sites are doing. You don't have to look too far for the right info to tell you not to do that. You have to have some insights and Netmag, for example, he provides that for free for some people. And he charges people a little bit sometimes for it. And those type of places you could go, not to advertise for him, but I'm just thinking of like, you know, what you can do to educate yourself. Pay attention and don't think you know more than everyone else, and don't assume these guys do either, these blog sites. And, you know, talk to people you trust, you know, like he's a perfect example of someone, you know, if I have a question about, I don't usually, but about market prices. Absolutely. Or, you know, talk to someone you trust. Don't flood his inbox. But
everyone DM Netmag.
Well, they already do, probably.
Anytime something is coming out, and say, is this real news?
I'm sure.
So he has to hire someone.
I think that's why he hired someone.
He's a customer service representative at Netmag.
hit up one of these three guys. I'm sure they have nothing better to do.
Absolutely not. Look at what we're doing right now. So.
Yeah.
So the next article, the first article you wrote, but the one that I was incredibly intrigued by, had to do with you selling your grails. So you attained your number one shoe ever and then got rid of it. So before you tell the story, because I do want to hear the story, it is in the blog post, but I do want you to tell it as well. We've had a hotly contested debate, not between us so much, but just between our listeners and overall. Can you give your definition of what a grail is?
Yeah, a grail is, for me, any sneaker in this context that you that is very difficult to obtain, that you never thought you'd obtain, or maybe that you cannot obtain even.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in that sort of category.
So once it's obtained, is it still a grail?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. But for me, I don't know if you want me to get into
it.
I realized when I had it, I didn't need a grail because it was a DS pair of Chicago ones from 85 and sitting at OD Toronto now. So I can go visit it. I wrote in the – it's nice, actually. I can go like – I told my son I was selling these shoes and he kind of didn't believe me, and I said, yeah. And then we went to the store. I said, look.
That's my shoe.
They're still there, and we have the money. And I say we.
There you go, yeah.
Because I wanted to learn. But and I had a used pair, and, you know, I just moved on from the maybe any investment idea in it. And I know grails, you know, if you're talking grails, you probably shouldn't be thinking investments.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. No, in your definition, but someone else's definition, right?
Yeah, for real. No, 100%.
Might be the most valuable shoe on their shelf.
Yep.
That could be their grail. Mm-hmm. I don't think of it that way. And the reason I sold it is because I realized I don't need my grails, you know. And I guess they changed. I guess, or what grails meant to me changed. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I recently got rid of Heineken, so a lot of people would say that's a grail too.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it wasn't a financial decision, but the value of a shoe, I think, affected me and helped me realize that I didn't need my grail.
Mm.
And, I still have 85s, none of them DS, and I wear them. And it was more a function of not wearing my grail.
Mm.
I think a lot of people probably don't wear their grails.
Yep.
They put it in a glass case, mm-hmm. and that was just a philosophy that I said should, you know, I changed, I guess. I didn't want my grail to be DS, and I didn't want to undead stock a pair of shoes. I had another pair that's worth a ton of money.
Yeah,
so. That's true.
So your whole philosophy essentially was, well, other than having, so you had two pairs of Chicago 85s.
Yeah, one worn.
One was worn, one was dead sock. And you were just like, it's not doing it justice sitting here kind of thing, or?
Yeah. And part of me was, you know, was afraid it would chip, and, you know, they were my grails because they were dead stock and they were so clean.
Yeah.
Like I posted pictures of it. Like most people hadn't seen a pair that clean. So yeah, it's like a museum piece, but I didn't want to do the museum piece thing anymore.
Yeah, you don't live in a museum, you live in a house.
Yeah, so if I'm either going to wear them
yeah.
and have two pairs, it seemed ridiculous. And the price, you know, you guys know how prices of ones
yeah.
just have gone bananas. And same with SBs. And that was it. It was mm-hmm. just the money. The money was kind of, I wasn't doing anything with the shoe.
Yeah.
And the money can go to some good.
I kind of get what you mean in that sense, because I think you mentioned in the article you couldn't see yourself undead stocking it, just because it would, like you said, first of all, you have a pair that's already worn, so it wouldn't make sense to break out a brand new pair for no reason that's been dead stocked for 30 plus years just for a random Tuesday. Yeah. But also just the whole aspect of, like you said, you compared it to a used car, which was a really good example, especially in this day and age, that as soon as you drive it off a lot, as soon as you unlace it, put it on your foot and step outside, it depreciates like down to 75% of its value, probably. Mm-hmm. If with an 85, probably even more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like you just couldn't bring yourself to wear the shoe just because it's like, why?
Yeah. And Grail label or not, I guess the Grail label didn't mean as much to me as I thought it did, or as other people. I've sold a bunch of, you know, Grail type shoes recently for the same reason, you know, Blue Lobsters, Heinekens. Again, I made money on most of them, so it made it easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, even the 112s that ended up with you, I didn't sell them to you, but they ended up with you. Like, that's a Grail. That's a Grail Air Max for sure.
Yeah. Especially with the signed box. Oh, yeah.
But I don't, like, you know, I don't want to say I have 20 Grails, but, you know, I sold a lot of shoes that were, I thought were Grails, and then I realized, you know, it was more about not wearing them too, Renee, right?
Yeah.
You'll wear them more than me, so glad you have them.
He already has, yeah.
Yeah, like I was just worried and like about, you know, how long they're going to last or had another pair. You know, that's not the way to
worry. Yeah, so it came down to do I want this pair of shoes sitting here, or do I want this X amount of money sitting in my pocket?
Yeah.
It's literally doing the same thing. If you were never going to wear it in the first place, then why have it, right? That was the whole idea.
Speaking of Tong, he wrote a couple blog posts, but I think we all feel the idea, the feeling when you have a lot of shoes that you can't get through and you feel like, what am I going to wear today? And that's not necessarily always the best feeling if you feel like you have too much and, you know, not like pressure, but it's like, well, why do I have these if they're just collecting dust, maybe falling apart even? Mm-hmm. It's like, got to wear them. Get them out once a year. Try to pair back on those once a year ones, you know, like the Heinekens I wore on my 40th birthday. And then I wore them because my son made me, he was like, why do you have these if you're not wearing them? And I picked them up in school.
And you were like, wow, this kid is and that wise. Was
yeah. And then I picked them up from school one day and that was it. And I was like, okay, it's been 2 years, year and a half. I wore them twice.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to beat them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sit on them.
Yeah. So you were like, I'll take this money and buy more shoes, basically.
No, put it away, right? Try to.
So would you say the Chicago 85 is still your grail? Even after all this, is it still your number one grail?
You know, it's my favorite shoe along with the Shadows from 09. Those ones, actually, I like the 94s better, the 94 Chicago ones, but the 85s are pretty symbolic, I think, in terms of the collection. Yeah. In the whole sneaker culture, I think that might be the shoe.
Yeah.
I mean, apart from airships, if you want to believe the airship rumor.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's another rumor. There, yeah.
I think it's safe to say the Chicago ones.
So you have a pair, but would you try to get another one then? Like you sold it, you got rid of a dead stock pair. Would you try and acquire another one? Yeah,
well, I've seen pairs. And recently someone posted a couple 11s. 45 is back. He's an eBay account. He posted a couple, my size Tonk, NetMag posted a couple of pairs in my like 11 of 85s. And I guess if the price was right, but the prices are never pretty high now. Like I got those, I told the story, I think at the last pod, but I got them at Urban Necessities for pretty cheap and I did really well on them. So it's easy to, I feel like let go if someone offers you.
Oh,
significantly more than you paid. Sure.
Yeah. And you're ready to let go of it anyway.
Yeah. The time kind of just lined up. Yeah. And it's kind of definitely, it feels a lot different when it's at somewhere like ODTO where you know it's never going anywhere. Like it's found its place. You said it's a museum quality shoe and it's in a museum now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I contacted some people and they were going to sell it on eBay and it was going to be all complicated and risky. And this was the perfect answer.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even shoes like the Air Max 112s, it's like, I want that shoe to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've given shoes to friends before just because I'm not wearing it. Like,
yeah.
So like I said, my mentality has changed, but it's hard because, you know, don't get me wrong. I still, and this is what I said last time, I still hold on to lots of stuff that I don't need.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No. I think we can all relate to that sentiment. We hold on to a lot of stuff like a dummy. I've got many shoes that I could never wear because they're very old and I still keep them in my closet for no reason whatsoever.
No, there is a reason. Though,
right? Yeah, just because I want it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it than not have it, absolutely. Basically. So you guys, could you ever do that? Think of your number one grail, Alvin, your Atmoses.
They're worn. No one's going to want worn ones.
Could you sell it? Could you sell it, though?
If I needed to, yeah.
Yeah, but he did. John didn't need to.
That's why I said, just, if I needed to. He just wanted to. Yeah.
So just on a whim, you could never see yourself being like, ah, fuck this shoe. Not that John was like, fuck this shoe, them. But...
Not that John... But John had a worn pair.
Yeah, he had another one.
Had I had... If I have a DS pair, or if I had a DS pair of Atmos 1s, and I have the pair I have now that's worn, yeah, for sure.
Mm. Someone offered you, yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
If the price is right, you can always get rid of shit.
Easy? You're going to say it'd be easy?
If I had a second pair?
Easy?
Easy.
Easy.
If I had a second pair.
If he had a second pair.
I don't know about it. I still don't know about easy.
The original question was, will you sell your grills? But oh, no, for sure. I didn't really sell it, right? I had one. So
yeah.
It's not the
That's
same.
Why. But now I only have one pair.
But if you didn't.
No.
No.
Hell fucking no.
But that was your grail before you got it for a while, right? For years before the retro, years. Right?
Which yes. it is. Yeah.
So,
oh, I remember the story.
I've been hunting for those. So it's just like, yeah, if I had a second pair for sure, and I had a DS pair, and someone was like, hey, you want a trip to Disney for the whole family for those shoes? Fuck yeah, bro.
No, fuck my family.
I'm going to Disney three times.
Yeah, you don't think you'll ever sell them. I think you said that. Like, you don't plan, you don't think that, unless you have to.
I don't plan on it.
And that's how I feel. But
unless I have to. But like, again, if I had a DS pair and someone was like, yo, for that DS pair.
Yeah.
Here's a dumb amount of money.
Yeah. Four X's, I think. Yeah, for sure. It's gone.
Because when am I ever going to un-DS?
Another one.
Another one. Because I'm just going to keep these pristine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Troy Alexander did.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I wore them a bunch of times. I'm like, when?
Where?
Yeah.
A bunch of times a minute each.
In the bathtub.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, that's how we, like, for us guys, we keep our shoes that way for the most part.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I'm never going to have to un-DS that DS pair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Joel, could you do it?
Like,
just both like, ways. If you had whatever, well, what's your number one grail that you own currently? Could you pick just one?
That you currently own? Probably the Animal Ones.
Animal 1.0. Someone offers you XXX dollars for it. Is it going anywhere?
If I had another pair?
No, just this one you have.
No, it's not.
No, it's not going anywhere. If you had another pair?
If I had another pair, I would.
Yeah, you could see yourself doing it. Yeah. But you wouldn't. Would you put it up? Because yours was if someone offered it to you.
Mm. I put mine up.
What would bring you? You wouldn't put it up. But if someone came to you and was like, Skyball offered, take it or leave it, you're taking it.
And I had the
other pair. And you had the other pair?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah. So you would put yours up. You would
post it. I got rid of a pair. So I had two bread. Not that bread ones are like grail, but I love my bread ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I had the 09 pair from the DMP pack that I beat up.
Yep.
Not really beat. They're still nice. But... and then I had the ones from like 2013.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I put those up so I can buy something else.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Just because like a DS pair, like when am I, same situation. Like when am I going to DS this shit? Because I still love the 09s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to you in 1 second. But I recently didn't even think of this until we started talking. Just last week, I actually sold a double of my Block Cement 3s from last year, this year?
2018?
Last year.
Shoe of the year last year, no?
Shoe of the year. Shoe of the year and sold one. But I have an 01.
Yeah.
I have a 2012 or whatever it is. Yeah. And then I have another one, I think, from 2018 that I've worn once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have had a dead stock 2018 as well. So I was like, do I need this fifth pair of dead stock that, like I said the same thing. I'm going to run through the 2018 pair in 5 years, maybe. Yeah. And by that time, it'll probably come back out. Exactly. Probably not. Because it's been 5 years since the 2012 or whatever. And that one's still I wear. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I haven't touched the 2018 pair yet.
Exactly. I think I wore it maybe twice so far just because I wanted a crispy pair. But like, yeah, it's going to take years till I actually run through it. And by then, it'll come back out. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to post it up. I'm going to sell it. And I just got rid of it because I was just like trying to get rid of some stuff. Mm. But number one grail, like, I mean, for me, it's a little bit different.
Like when you have your mags...
If you have what you have now, you asked us.
With what I have now, what the dunks? Mm. If I had, I think my number one that I have right now would be what the dunks. Tentatively, if you ask me tomorrow, it might change.
Well, that's a good example. So what the dunk is a shoe that's gone
stupid.
Up, skyrocket,
like tripled value, since I bought it,
right? Or even a Heineken, but let's say what the dunk. So if you, and I didn't think this because I didn't think I'd ever see another DS pair.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you feel the same way, Joel.
Yeah.
And even at most ones, they're not going down in value. So
yeah,
it's the same idea, like whether you find it or not, if it's going, but those have gone crazy. Do you believe, if you believe that they would correct in value and come down, right? Not that money should be a, but sometimes it is. Me in my head selling my shoe thinking I could put that money in the bank instead of sitting on the shelf.
It'll drop and then you'll
whether
be able
you need
to
it or not.
Split the difference.
I mean, I think people think that way, whether you would or not, but.
No. if I had, I would never sell my What the Dunk, the worn pair that I have. I would never sell that. That's staying with me until forever. If I had a dead stock pair, would I sell it? Shit. That's, yeah.
Like you're not going
to
wear
probably,
right?
Yeah. I don't see, unless something catastrophic were to happen to the
buy
used
a house.
Pair.
Would you keep it? Would you keep them? DS? Yeah. For,
buy a house.
Would I keep a DS? I would not wear it unless something catastrophic happened to my worn pair.
Your worn ones are still DS.
Then I would get rid of the worn pair and then I would un-DS another pair.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess, I mean, I guess I'd be in the same boat. I probably would sell the dead stock pair and then buy something else. Or yeah, buy a house because they're fucking stupid expensive now.
Yeah.
If I had a pair of mags and I had two pairs, I'll fucking take 10 pairs. Those are not going anywhere. It's staying with me forever. Those I would not sell in ever. No if way. I had 4, 5, 8, 12, 100, they're, I don't care. That's a, such a cool shoe. There's no
well, if
thing.
You had 4, 5, 8, 12, 200, you don't need any money in the world.
That's true. Yeah, I'd be good. Yeah. More than enough. Or I just get really lucky on NetMag raffles. So John, then we'll come full circle back to you. If you didn't have a worn pair of 85 Chicago Jordan 1s that you had as your backup, would you have sold your dead stock pair?
Probably the only way I would have kept the dead stock pair is if I had no 85s. It was my only pair. And I would just, because I still, they're still not worn that much. I look at them more than I wear them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe I'd keep one pair for, but I started to think of it as an investment and I didn't like that.
Yeah, you just didn't like how it was making
me feel.
I saw
the value going up and I said, I don't want these, even though I know they're going to be worth more at some point. I didn't want
that. Of course, like you said, that shoe's never going down. Like
sitting in my house, maybe my son one day decides to customize it. Like, you never know.
Dad, you said you like the shadow, so I turned it gray.
He wants to make an off-white. I got a little off-white kids ones. Maybe he wants to make that.
So cuts off the swoosh.
No, he wouldn't do that, but you never know what happens. Wife's mad at you one day.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Oh, boy. Oh, that's
no, I shouldn't have said that.
Marriage threatening right there.
Sorry, honey. Sorry, honey.
She's not listening. No one listens to this. So I'm going to leave you guys with this. This is just one final question that has to do with grails that actually NetMag posted a couple of days ago that kind of had me thinking a little bit. I don't remember what shoe he posted, but the caption simply said, once a grail, always a grail. And I want to know your guys' thoughts on that statement. What was the question, but what do you guys think about that?
Yeah.
You think so? You don't think your tastes change and your things change? And
well, in terms of, for me, in terms of the Atmos Air Max 1, my taste hasn't changed in 10 years.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. How much did style change in 10 years? Mm-hmm. I went from wearing baggy ass sweatpants, baggy ass jeans. Dude, I was looking at my like Instagram feed
when we talked
last
about
night.
It. Yeah.
And I was just, I went all the fucking way down.
Yeah, I did too on yours. I know.
And I was just like, and I was looking at my posts and like when I used to take side pictures of my shoes and bend over and shit. And I'm like, fuck, my pants were baggy as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from wearing baggy pants to like fucking baggy sweatpants to now wearing like the tightest freaking like
spandex.
And rolled up pants, like just to like show off my sneakers and shit. And my like, my sneaker taste, I feel anyway, hasn't changed a lot.
Constant enough.
I've definitely gone more towards like the runners / like dad. Mm-hmm. Shoe,
yep.
As opposed to like all straight up Jordans,
yep.
But I still have Jordans in my collection and shit like that. Like, so for me anyway, right now, once a grail, always a grail. Yes.
So you think in 10 years it's still gonna be your Atmos as you have them? But you've had them for 10 years.
They'll just
you don't
be
think
creased up a bit.
You
more.
Don't think the love is gonna die. You don't think something else is gonna be like, this is my new number one. Like,
nope. Like I always thought. I was always. Like in my head, it was always like, oh, maybe one day, like I'll switch up, like I'll switch up a brand. I'll like go heavier on like the three stripes or, cause like, when Nice Kicks was doing their episodes about like touring people's like, sneaker closets and shit. One of the episodes that like stuck to me was the Sneaker Grandpa one.
Mm-hmm.
where like he got rid of all his Jordans and hopped on like all the like the exclusive Reeboks, all the exclusive New Balances and shit. I'm like, yo, those are all dope silhouettes.
Yeah.
I could definitely get into that. Maybe one day I'll do that. I'm still like swoosh heavy.
Yeah.
Only difference is now I'm like a little bit New Balance heavy.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know if I could get rid of all of my Nikes. Maybe it'll change in like a few years, but or maybe when Kaya has to go to university or some shit. And OSAP is like stupid.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In like the next 5 years, I don't see myself, or 10 years, I don't see myself doing anything crazy like that.
And since you can remember, your grail has been the same for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joel, once a grail, always a grail?
Yeah, definitely. Like if you've sat down, if you were to sit down and think of it as a grail and keep it like, you know, mentally in your head and in like, you know, in your heart that it's a grail.
That's cute.
It's a grail. Like no matter if you've had it and you've, you know, you sold it or whatever, mm-hmm. it's still labeled a grail, like mentally.
And once it's got that label, it cannot be stripped of that label.
Like even if you possess it, it's still your grail.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I strongly believe in, you know, once a grail, always a grail.
I can agree with that. I think like what you said is a really good example. Once a grail, always a grail, as in once it's been labeled that by you, mm-hmm. can't take it back.
No.
You can't. That's why I don't believe that you can do it with new releases.
No,
like we've talked about this a lot. Like you can't label it 2 weeks after it comes out. This is my grail because you haven't had long enough to make it your grail. You haven't had that emotional attachment to it for, it's a different time now, but for a long enough time that you can call it a grail. Like I remember.
Once you post it on Instagram, it's no longer a grail.
Once Off-White has a new Jordan 1, it's the grail. It's completely different.
Different.
You guys don't get it. You're old. I'm surprised we don't get those comments more. But yeah, like I remember, like I think my first grail that I can remember was Aqua 8s.
I
first started working at Foot Locker and I was starting to learn about shoes and those came out like maybe 3 years before I even started working at Foot Locker. There was one of like the shoes at the time, like Aqua 8s were like heavy, crazy shit.
For you to have them was like...
Yeah, it was like, well, we have Aqua 8s. And then they came back out again like maybe 3 years ago and it was kind of like, nobody cared. Yeah. But at the time, like that was my shoe.
Yeah.
Like needed it, ended up getting it from Flight Club. That's how you knew it was real.
Back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. That's how you, that was, yeah. But yeah, got it from Flight Club and obviously tastes change. Things have come out. I've learned more. But I still have that pair of Aqua 8s sitting in my closet. I could not even tell you the last time I wore that shoe or even took it out of the box. Like maybe I should like dust it off once soon because it's probably fucking falling apart by now. But yeah, still in the back of my mind, like Joel said, like I have that attachment. I could never get rid of it. I don't think. Because it was my grail. Like, you have that attachment to it. And yeah, I think I agree with what you guys all said. Once a grail, always a grail. It may not be your number one anymore because I think you can have tiers of grails. I think you can have 12, 15, 20 grails because things change. And like, maybe there's still that number one holy grail, but you have other things that you learned to want so bad. Like, you friggin' searched for, maybe not so much anymore. You don't search anymore, but you searched for, waited for it to come back out. I think once a grail, always a grail. Whether you admit it to yourself or not, like that shit was your grail, so it's always your grail. John.
I agree. And you know, with the Chicago, with the 85 Chicago, it's a perfect example, even though I sold them. Probably never find a pair again. Probably never get the money to find a pair. So I still think it definitely qualifies. The only catch with me is when I remember when I was on the pod last time, it was what your grail is, and it was a DS pair, and I think that's where, you know, there's a little, maybe in a little exception that I was probably too specific. It had to be DS, but that's because my mentality was like it was like a museum type of, that was my grail to have something untouched because it's kind of historical shoe.
That's a pretty, sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but that's crazy to be honest. Like, because when those came out, it was not a big deal per se.
Yeah.
Someone kept that shit on ice for the first 5 years, it would have been the hardest.
Yeah.
Once you're after that, like it was fucking easy for the last 20 years because now Michael Jordan is somebody.
Yeah.
But to get it when it first came out and not wear it, and like for the first 5 years, that's nuts. But sorry, continue.
No. And I might regret it one day. I hope I don't. I mean, because maybe I'll be thinking it was worth more money or maybe. But, you know, now I look at the shoe, it's the same shoe as I sold, the one I wear. Even though, you know, someone, you know, those guys, I mean, it's going to hopefully be or whoever ends up with these DS, these shoes that are really, really old, you know, you see them on Instagram, guys are posting them, and it's cool that they're there, but I didn't need to have it, and still counted as my grail, especially now, right? I mean, now I don't have it again.
Yeah. So
I can drool over it.
Yeah.
Go downtown.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, it's museum quality. It was going to just sit in your closet because you don't live, like you said, you don't live in a museum. So it's doing the exact same thing, just in a different place. Yeah. Just think of it as ODTO storing it for you. They just are displaying your shoe for you, and they gave you money to do it.
Yeah, that wasn't the arrangement, unfortunately. It would be nice if you give me the money and I buy just, back. It's like a pawn shop.
It's still yours. Mentally, it's still yours, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. You had them.
I go visit them.
It's your shoe.
Yeah.
If anyone asks for the end of time, it's donated.
Yeah.
No, they're doing better with it. Like you said, they're doing better with it than I was. People get to see that. I mean, not that it's such a... But for people like us, I think
it's like for anybody that has to be something worth seeing. I remember when we went down there, when we previewed the store, and that's one of the things that they were like so excited to show us.
Like Shaheen,
they took it out, pulled it out, and they were like, look at this. Yeah. And we were like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's they were like, this is John's. And we were like, whoa, whoa.
Even more. I know that guy.
Yeah, double whoa.
Yeah, otherwise I would have seen some of these OG collector on IG posters. Like, look what I grabbed from eBay.
Yeah.
It would have been cool, but not nearly as cool as it is.
Thank you, John, for coming. We appreciate the talks. Some really good content to run over with you. Thank you to everyone who has supported and or being a part of this podcast. Wherever you're taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group that we like to use as a forum, sell stuff, and connect with you guys called CGS Talk. You can find it at facebook.com/group/CGS.talk. We've also got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much more. You can find that at canadagotsold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments like the Soul Poll, Sneak Riding for Dummies, or the Fire Round, let me stress that again, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at canadagotsold@gmail.com. And of course, do not forget to use #CanadaGotSoul on Instagram for a potential feature. I've been Lauren Topkins, and you can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
Our very, 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 very esteemed guest. Where can they find you?
It's John, and I'm at Heads8Ready on IG.
Thank you once again for coming. Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 79 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS, and we are out. Peace. I'd say these heads were ready.
You guys were ready.
Yeah. We were ready.
We were ready.
But no one else is.
These heads were ready. Those heads aren't ready.
Y'all ain't ready. Y'all heads ain't
ready. Y'all heads ain't ready.
Well, that's the track you should have
done. That's the track. That might be the title of the episode.